Sacrifice. Kurta. achieved. Ameen. Although Shaishnavaha perishable Satisaya, although more comfortable and pleasing, not Nirmala, pure. Tasmat. Therefore, Drishtasruta, never seen or heard, Dushanam, fault, Param, supreme, Bhaktya, with great devotional love, Uktaya, as described in the Vedic literature, Isham, the Supreme Lord, Vachata, worship, Atma Labdaye, for self-realization. Translation is learned from Vedic literature that by performing great sacrifices one may elevate himself to the heavenly planets. However, although life on heavenly planets is hundreds and thousands of times more comfortable than life on earth, heavenly planets are not pure or free from the taint of material existence. Heavenly planets are also temporary, and therefore, they are not the goal of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, has never been seen or heard to possess inebriety. Consequently, for your own benefit and self-realization, you should worship the Lord with great devotion as described in the revealed scriptures. Purport as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kshine Punye Martyalokam Vishanti. Even if one is promoted to the higher planetary existence by performing great sacrifices, which are accompanied by the sinful act of sacrificing animals, the standard of happiness in Svargaloka is also not free of disturbances. There is a similar struggle for existence even for the King of Heaven, Indra. Thus, there is no practical benefit in promoting oneself to the heavenly planets. Indeed, from the heavenly planets, one must return to this earth after one has exhausted the results of his pious activities. In the Vedas, it is said, Yad yateha karma jitto loka chiyate evam eva mudra punya jitto loka chiyate. As material positions we acquire herein by hard work are vanquished in due course of time, one's residence in the heavenly planets is also eventually vanquished according to one's activities of piety. In different degrees, one obtains different standards of life, but none of them are permanent, and therefore they're all impure. Consequently, one should not endeavor to be promoted to a higher planetary system, only to return to this earth and or descend still lower to the hellish planets. To stop the cycle of going and coming down, going up and coming down, one must take the Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Pramandam Pramite Kum Bhaktivanaji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Ulata Beach. The living entity is rotating in the cycle of birth and death, going sometimes to the higher planets and sometimes to the lower planets, but that is not the solution to the problems of life. But if by the grace of Krishna one is fortunate enough to meet a guru or representative of Krishna, one gets the clue to returning home back to Godhead, having achieved self-realization. This is what is actually desirable. Bhajata atma lokaye. One must take to Krishna consciousness for self-realization. Translation is learned from Vedic literature that by performing great sacrifices one may elevate himself to the heavenly planets. However, although life on the heavenly planets is hundreds and thousands of times more comfortable than life on earth, the heavenly planets are not pure or free from the taint of material existence. The heavenly planets are also temporary, and therefore, they are not the goal of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, has never been seen or heard to possess any liberty. Consequently, for your own benefit and self-realization, you must worship the Lord with great devotion as described in the revealed scriptures. So previous to this, Prahlada has been describing the uselessness of acquiring things in this material world, such as house, wealth, family members, and other possessions, since they're all very temporary and they don't really give satisfaction. So he takes this a step further in this verse by also saying that even if one goes to heavenly planets and enjoys very nicely, it's more or less the same situation. Certainly you can get more enjoyment in Svarga Loka, but the same problem still exists to a lesser degree. So it's only a matter of a degree of happiness, but it's still temporary. And therefore one must fall from that position also. So here it says that it is very temporary, even though it is greater in happiness. Sati Saya is very great happiness, but it is Shaishnavaha. It is temporary, just like the happiness on earth. And it is not pure. The happiness is always contaminated with gunas, even though it is sattva-gun. There is some rajagun and tamagun also present. And therefore we will see there are faults in the heavenly planets. Indra makes mistakes also. He is not pure. Even if one strives for heavenly planets through great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literature, it is not a solution to this problem of actually being happy. So therefore, happiness on earth has been discredited and rejected as being useless, and also life on higher planets, Svarga Loka, Jana Tapa, Brahma Loka, etc. All of this is considered to be useless. So then, and of course, we don't want to mention the hellish planets at all, since the enjoyment there is considered to be of low grade, tamasic. Then what is left for the jiva if he can't be happy on this planet or in higher planetary systems? So then the answer is that one has to worship the Supreme Lord, who is beyond all the planetary systems, the earth, the hellish planets, the heavenly planets, and Brahma Loka. The Supreme Lord is situated beyond all of this. So this is the only way in which the jiva can get his happiness. So therefore he says there, you should worship the Supreme Lord, who is free from all the faults mentioned here. That is, fault of impermanence. The Lord is eternal. There's no mixture of gunas. Lord is visuddha-sattva, pure goodness, without a mixture of tamas and raja or material sattva. This is testified by the scriptures. So therefore it says it's never been heard, so the Srutis never find fault in the Supreme Lord. They say he is perfect beyond all these different faults. So the Supreme Lord, therefore, should be the goal and the object of worship. So we take the Lord as the supreme goal, but then what is our relationship with the Lord? We want to attain the Lord. So we don't want to become the Lord, but we want to attain Him. So this means we can meet the Lord. But once we meet the Lord, what do we do? So therefore, our eternal position there is that of serving the Lord and pleasing the Lord. So therefore we practice this in the material world. So therefore here Prahlad says, worship the Lord. So worshiping the Supreme Lord, of course, involves external actions, such as offering things to the Lord, reciting prayers, etc., going to the temple. These are the external acts of worship. But the essence of all the worship is an attempt to please the Lord. Why do we offer all these things to the Lord? Simply to please Him. Now, of course, we can say, if we're intelligent, well, why is the Lord pleased with a flower, which is material, or a fruit, which is material, or a sabji, which is material? So, it's material, and the Lord is spiritual. So that is true. Well, we use material elements. But the Lord is not interested so much in the object. He's interested in the intention behind the object. That is, the devotion with which it is offered. So therefore, the worship we do in this material world is not just the action we do. It is practicing to have good intentions for the Lord. That is, to show an affection for the Lord. So, in the material world, how do we show affection? One way is you give somebody something as a gift. So we have birthday parties and people give gifts. Or in the West they have Christmas and they give gifts to the children or whatever like this. Huh? So that is one way of showing affection, by giving things. So similarly, we offer things to the Supreme Lord as a sign of affection. Now, we offer material things because we don't have anything else to give. We don't have spiritual objects here, so we can't give them. So, we do the best we can, and we offer some material object. Now, of course, the material object has to be an approved material object, something which is going to please the Lord, not something which is forbidden in Scripture. So we have to offer scripturally permitted objects to the Lord, like certain flowers we don't offer, certain flowers we offer, certain foods we offer, certain foods we don't offer, because the Scripture tells us this. So we offer those, even material things. Certain things are pleasing to the Lord, certain things are not pleasing. So we offer the pleasing things to the Lord. Yeah. So we do that. We offer the object with the intention of simply trying to please the Lord. So that is what is called pure bhakti. We don't have an intention of offering something to get something from the Lord. We offer it simply to try to please the Lord. So that is an expression of pure affection. Of course, when we are in the material world doing sadhana practice, this is not perfect, because our minds and our intelligence and body are all impure, and the jiva itself still has traces of ignorance and ahankara, etc. So we can not do it purely. Nevertheless, there is some tendency in the jiva to please the Lord. The Lord accepts that part. And so maybe weak, the Lord accepts it still. Through the practice of doing this repeatedly, the tendency of the jiva to please the Lord increases. So that means it's more pleasing to the Lord, and he accepts more. So this is what sadhana is. It's the gradual increase of our affection for the Lord through practice of offering things to the Lord. And when it is 100% for the Lord, then the Lord is most pleased, and he gives himself to the devotee, and he falls under the control of the devotee. That is the stage of prema, which this character is Krishna Karshani. It attracts Krishna completely, and Krishna comes under control of the devotee. So that complete control of the Lord by the devotee is manifest in prema. Nevertheless, even in the beginning stage, Krishna is attracted. But it's a matter of degrees. So the more bhakti we have, the more Krishna is attracted. Until we get to the prema stage, where it's 100% attraction to Krishna, and the Lord is 100% attracted to the devotee. So, therefore this worship of the Lord is simply an expression of, and a practice of, our affection for the Lord, and it should go on increasing gradually. And as a side effect, our attraction to material things should decrease and decrease and decrease, corresponding to the increase in attraction for the Lord. So that's the automatic result of the increase in bhakti. So in this way, when one reaches the 100% stage, prema, the faults mentioned here, that is temporariness, etc., impurity, do not exist any longer. Prema is permanent state, eternal state, and it is spotless. There's no fault in it. It is filled with Pladini Shakti and Samvit Shakti of the Lord. There's no material guna, there's nothing there at all. It is eternal, it is completely pure, and it gives one the highest experience of bliss, which is not available in Svarga Loka on earth, because this type of satisfaction actually is illusory. Due to our relationship with ahankara, we think it is happiness, but it isn't. So therefore it says here, Atmalabdaye, worship the Lord for attaining Atma, satisfaction of the Atma. So the satisfaction of the Atma takes place through worship of the Lord. One develops complete bliss and relationship with the Lord. So this is the instruction that Prahlad is giving. So he started out by instructing how we're different from the material body, and we have to understand we're the soul, not the body. And then he's introduced the fact that the Supreme Lord exists also, and therefore we have to worship the Supreme Lord. Then he's gone on to condemn the happiness of the material world and the happiness of Svarga Loka and other places in the material world, and shown the real satisfaction and happiness comes from attaining a relationship with the Lord. So to do that, then we have to practice that relationship now. So that is the process of worshipping the Lord in sadhana bhakti. So in sadhana bhakti, we have all sorts of actions involving the different senses and the mind and the body. All of these actions are types of worship, which means they are attempts to please the Supreme Lord. So they're all beneficial for the jiva. So though we involve the material senses in the body, the final effect is in the jiva. Through this, the jiva increases his bhakti and devotion to the Lord, even though we use external means. So this is mercy of the Supreme Lord. Normally, using material things will give only material results. By the mercy of the Supreme Lord, material things can also have spiritual effect, if the Lord so pleases. So it is only in the process of bhakti that this takes place. It doesn't take place in jnana, karma yoga, etc. Material effects only are given through these things. Sadhana of sattva-guna is jnana. Sadhana of raja-guna is karma yoga. And they give material effects. We use our senses and body in bhakti, and we get spiritual effect. This is special mercy of the Supreme Lord, due to the shakti of bhakti. The shakti of bhakti transforms the senses and everything that's related to, spiritualizes everything. So we get spiritual effect. So bhakti is very, very special. Special energy of the Lord, special shakti of the Lord. Spiritual shakti. Even these other processes, only operate by the mercy of the Lord and the Shakti of the Lord. So the results of karma yoga, ultimately, due to the mercy of the Lord, they get those things also. And due to jnana, any effect one gets from jnana, ultimately, Shakti of the Supreme Lord is involved in that also. However, the Shakti in bhakti is very special. This is Sarup Shakti of the Lord. This is the part of the Lord's spiritual form. So it is quite different. The other things are byproducts only. The Shakti in Karma Yoga, the Shakti in Jnana, etc. related to the gunas. They're not part of the Sarup Shakti of the Lord. So bhakti is an essential part of the Supreme Lord. And it manifests in the material world and in the activities of the devotee. So this is the process by which one can advance. So there are many activities we can do chanting the name of the Lord is considered to be the most powerful process and recommended process for Kali Yuga. So this is recommended for Kali Yuga because the people are the least qualified, and chanting the name of the Lord requires least qualification. So therefore it is very suitable for the people of Kali Yuga. This does not make chanting the name a lower type of process because it's available to more people. What it means is it's a more powerful process, so therefore it's also available to less qualified people. So it's not that it is a less powerful process, it's a more powerful process, and therefore it can purify even the most fallen people. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has propagated Nam Sankirtana as the Yuga Dharma. The main process to be followed. In doing so, we do not reject other processes of bhakti. They can also be done, should be done. But the principal process is chanting the holy name. All the other processes should be done along with that. In this way, the devotee can develop nicely in his devotional process. So we have many opportunities to engage our senses through the chanting process. We engage the tongue or the voice and the ear and the mind. So these are principal senses of the jiva. So very, very important. And then we engage the eyes and the hands and the feet in other services to the Lord, particularly in deity worship. Engage the ear also in hearing Bhagavatam, etc. So the whole combination is very powerful to produce this effect of realizing we are Atma and to realize the relationship with the Supreme Lord. Both things, not just realization that we are Atma, but realization of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. And over and above that, realizing it, it situates us in eternal service with the Lord. So the service now, the actions we do now in devotional service, determine our service in the spiritual world. So we hear, chant, remember now, and in the spiritual world also. We hear, chant, remember, etc. We do similar type of activities. In the sadhana, the choice is always there, who to worship. So we worship the Supreme Lord, not devatas. But because jivas are of many varieties, the Lord also displays many forms. And different jivas are attracted to different forms of the Lord. So there's many, many different. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that And of course, Narada Muni and others also have recommended that. Of all these different forms, the recommended form to worship in Kali Yuga is Krishna. And therefore, the name of Krishna is the name we chant in Sankirtan. That's our type of worship. So, why Krishna? Because Krishna manifests fully all the qualities of the Supreme Lord. They are not manifested fully in all the other forms, but they are manifested fully in Krishna. And therefore, Krishna is the most attractive. And the people of Kali Yuga are the most attracted to Maya. So therefore, they need the most attractive form of the Lord to get them out of Maya. So therefore, we have the all-attractive form of Krishna as the object of worship in Kali Yuga. So, we know, even in this material world, people maybe subconsciously realize this. And therefore, we'll see that of all the different forms of the Supreme Lord, Krishna is very popular in terms of depiction, in terms of songs, in terms of dance, etc. He's very, very popular. Why? Because he displays all sorts of attractive pastimes or lila and wonderful qualities, and because of his beautiful form. So therefore, he's very popular, the subject of many, many classical songs and dances and literature, etc. So this is simply an indication of the all-attractive nature of Krishna. So Bhagavatam is dedicated to the worship of Krishna, and particularly in the 10th canto, we have elaborate descriptions of Krishna, his activities, his form, his qualities, etc., so that the people of Kali Yuga can develop that attraction to him. So there is nothing difficult in concentrating on Krishna, because he's all attractive. People naturally use their senses, particularly the eyes and the ears, and they get distracted in the material world. Why? Because it's the nature of the senses to find some object. So the senses, the eye needs a form to see. So it wants a beautiful form. The ear wants something to hear, something to hear, something pleasant to hear. So it's always looking for something. And all the senses are looking. And worlds everywhere. To make things worse, research or science has understood some of the natures, the propensities of the senses and the mind. And therefore, they use techniques to trick you, to attract your mind, to attract your eyes, to attract your ear. They have special techniques of doing that in the modern world. So unconsciously, you have to look this way, you have to hear this in the material world. And this is what advertisements and commercialization does. It simply makes you look in a certain direction, see certain things, hear certain things like this, and do certain things as a result, particularly spend money. That's the whole goal. So ultimately, you spend money and buy things. That's what they want you to do. So they use your senses, exploit your senses, the propensity of the senses, in order to make money off you. And therefore, you have to work very hard to get the money, to spend the money. So, in this way, the senses in the material world are very distracted by various things, and more distracted in the modern world than previously because of the special techniques used to grab your senses. So if you want to practice spiritual life, then we have to be very serious about restricting that exposure to the modern commercial world. And then repeatedly drilling the senses.
disciplining the senses to concentrate on Krishna. So therefore, sadhana is very important. Okay? The practice of bhakti is very important. We must do that very regularly. Otherwise, we will get distracted by everything in the material world. Okay? So in order to counter that, we have to keep attracting our senses back to Krishna. So therefore, we have standard practices in bhakti that we have to do very regularly. So principle, of course, of Angam is chanting the name of Krishna, chanting the Maha Mantra. And along with that, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the deities, we serve the deities, etc. So we have many, many things we can do. So, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the process in Kali Yuga is much easier than in other yugas. Even to get your happiness in the material world, as Prahlada said, oh, you have to endeavor so much. And if you want to go to Svargaloka and get superior enjoyment, you also have to endeavor. Because then you have to do sacrifices. To do sacrifices perfectly, you have to look for great endeavor at great expense. So the endeavor required to perform bhakti is not that great. It's not required so much wealth and endeavor as all these other processes. It simply requires determination to engage the senses in the proper way. That's all. And if we do so, then we can counteract this avidya, ignorance in the material world, which is considered to be the very seed of all of our problems. So bhakti is actual vidya, yeah? And we counteract the avidya, which is the root of material existence and all its problems. So as a result of bhakti, then we counteract the whole problem of the material world, and we have complete satisfaction in the spiritual world with the Supreme Lord. Japa. They chant, yes, they say the names of the Lord, they do kirtan and everything. When the gopis became separated from Krishna in the Ras Lila, they looked in the forest, they couldn't find him. They went deeper in the forest, still couldn't find him. And they went deeper and deeper into the forest, and it got darker and darker because the trees got denser and denser, and the moon didn't shine through because the branches were so dense. So then they decided that Krishna's not here. What are we going to do? So they returned, went back to the bank of the Jamuna River, and they began chanting. And when they chanted, Krishna appeared. So they chant in the spiritual world. Every morning when Yasoda churns the yogurt into butter, she's chanting Krishna's name. There are various methods. Usually involves sacrifices, especially for the Indraloka. Because they are the devatas and Svarga are their main satisfaction is the sacrifice. So that's what's necessary there. To go to Brahmaloka, of course, requires even more than that. One has to have very ideal conduct, detachment, etc. As one goes higher and higher, qualification is more. So it's not just sacrifice. For instance, Tapaloka, one has to be brahmachari, well, having highest activity, etc. And on Brahma Loka, one has to have very great detachment from everything and do pure Nishkama Karma Yoga in a very perfect way. And then one can go up there. So the more and more requirements as one goes higher. Generally, the sacrifices, there are different types of sacrifices, daily sacrifices, etc., whatever. So they're not sinful. There are some sacrifices, kamya karma sacrifices, more complicated sacrifices, which involve animal killing or something like that. In themselves, also, not if done properly, then they are not sinful. Just as killing according to the proper Kshatriya conduct also is not sinful. So if killing an animal in itself and sacrifice, if done properly, is not sinful. If, however, one goes to excess, then it becomes a problem. So that was the case of Prashnavardhisha. He was addicted to sacrifices of animals because he was thinking, I have to get this far below or something. So the Narada Muni came and showed him that actually, because of his sacrifices, animals would come back and give a hellish punishment. So in other words, it backfired. Instead of with a Svargaloka, you get hellish punishment because he did too much of it for the wrong reasons. So therefore, excess in any of these rules causes problems. Just like it also says, the king can hunt or the king can drink or whatever. But if he does it excessively, then it becomes sin and he has to suffer for it. So if he's addicted to hunting, then sin. Addicted to drinking, then sin. So there's a limit on everything. So even sacrifices, they have their limit. And if you go beyond that, then it's considered sinful. Similarly, Buddha came because excess sacrifices were there for the wrong reason. Therefore, he said, stop sacrifices because it's all sinful. Well, it's done, but it's not that those sacrifices are constant. Those sacrifices are done very periodically for special reasons. And the idea is that though the animal is sacrificed, it's also beneficial for the animal and to get the higher birth due to that. Familiarity breeds discipline, how to take care of this with our equal devotee friends. Well, as in the material world, the same thing can happen. Similarities can breed disrespect, but at the same time, it always doesn't do so in the material world. Otherwise, no one would have any friends at all. Well, we do see there are friends, in spite of the fact that it can happen. So therefore, it is simply the attitude of the person involved. As in the material world, some people will take advantage and disrespect others. So in devotional service also, one has to be careful. So the proper attitude, of course, is great humility. Why do we disrespect another person? It's because we have some material motives behind our relationship to begin with. And then we become proud and we think of ourselves as superior. So we have to give up that. And of course in bhakti itself, one of the attitudes is that we have to be lower than a straw in the street or a blade of grass. So as a constituent of our bhakti, we have to understand we're in a low position. So humility should be cultivated in our bhakti itself. And therefore this will prevent disrespect. Sadhana is very important. If we are hearing a lecture, has time for darshan aren't you in the yoga day? What? Skip Darshanarthi and attend the live lecture, or have the Darshanarthi before the, after the. Oh, I see. Oh, the lecture is at home? I don't quite understand that. Or the lecture is in the temple and the Arthi is at
home? Live lecture
on TV. Oh, on TV. Oh, I see. Well, there's various alternatives. One could record the lecture and you can listen to it later, for instance. That's also there. So, one has to use one's intelligence to do things properly. Yeah. Generally, of course, obviously, if it would be a regular thing, if it's going to be at the same time every day, then one can prepare for it, record it and hear it later, in other words. Or alter the darshan time permanently in that case, and have it at a different time. But not do it regularly every day. What lecture? I see.
Gandhara Sri Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Zonas Bhar Maharaj ki. Srimad Bhagavatam 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 ki. Srimad B